This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
It's 8:06, 51 degrees in Chapel Hill, 50 in Carrboro, uncharacteristically cool this morning. Partly sunny today, high today in the middle 70s, really great weather. The coordinator of the Chapel Hill Carrboro Schools Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocate Program and a strong proponent, supporter, and administrator of primary education wants to serve you in the North Carolina House of Representatives. Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools Director of Student Equity and Volunteer Services, Greg Meyer, announced this week that he will seek the appointment to District 50's House seat. The seat formerly held by Valerie Fushi, who was appointed to Senate District 23 seat, formerly held by Ellie Kinnaird. Greg Meyer was in our studios last hour.
Most importantly is that I love this community. My wife loves this community. We care very much about what happens in this community. I believe that our government is responsible for educating our children, caring for our elders, and creating a safe, healthy, and prosperous community for everyone. I believe the North Carolina government has not been leading us in that direction for the last few years, and it's going to take a multi-year push to get us back towards being the great state that we can be, and I believe that I can make the commitment to do that.
Tell us a little bit more about your background and what qualifies you to serve in this capacity.
Ron, I've been a public servant for my entire career. I mean, people in Chapel Hill probably know me for my work with the school district. I'm really trying to address the minority achievement gap and work on racial justice issues. In Orange County, I've been active with the Orange County Schools as my daughter went through Orange County Schools from grades 1 through 12. And I've also been active in the Democratic Party at the local level, state level, even the national level. And so I've got credentials being tied into all those places and ways of supporting Orange County. My wife is more active in Durham County. She's an educator there, and our children, two youngest children, go to school there. So we've got ties, we know the issues, and you know, care very much about making sure that the voices of people in Orange and Durham counties are represented in the General Assembly, and I think most of the people that I talk to around here feel like those voices haven't been represented very well the last couple of years, not by my predecessor, not by Valerie Fushi, of course, but by the General Assembly as a whole.
We're speaking with Greg Meyer on WCHL. And Greg, this may be a loaded question. Keep your answer as brief as you can. What do you want to see changed in the legislature?
To me, the most important issue is always going to be education, and that includes early childhood, K-12, and higher education. This state has always had its prosperity built on being a state with an amazing educational system and having an economy that's built off of a highly educated workforce, and so we have to make sure that continues.
Now, a natural question here might be, do you want to just finish out the rest of Representative Fushi's term, or do you want to continue beyond that as well?
Well, my goal would be to help build a long-term movement of allies who think like me and are part of a movement for a more successful and sustainable state. And so if I'm appointed to the term right away, I would certainly run for election in the primary next spring.
Now, you are the newly created Director of Student Equity and Volunteer Services position last July, but you are best known for your work with the Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocate Program, and you've been in charge of that whole program for a long time. What about the future of the VRMA if you get the seat? You've been such a major part of what's happened there.
Well, I think that if I'm elected to the seat and really take this on, I'd need to dedicate a lot of my time to representing the people in the General Assembly. So I don't believe I'd be able to continue at the Blue Ribbon Program or full-time in the Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools. But we have a part-time citizen legislature, and I care passionately about young people in this community, and I'd love to find a way to continue to serve them part-time. So we'll see what comes about.
Greg, you touched on Durham just a moment ago. Durham is included, of course, in District 50. What would you say that you can provide for Durham residents as well as those of Orange County?
Well, I say, first of all, that I need to make sure that the residents of Durham County and those in Orange County that don't know me get the chance to know me so that I can hear what they're interested in and what I can provide to them. But I don't believe that the interests of people in Durham County are significantly different from the interests of people in Orange County. This district, District 50, covers a little bit of Chapel Hill, but mostly rural Orange County and the northern, more rural part of Durham County. And that's really, in large part, a working-class community. People who are interested in jobs and safety and prosperity for their families, and trying to make sure that North Carolina is able to really support what their aspirations are for their children. And so I believe that with that education platform and with a focus on trying to really make sure that the prosperity of the state is based in good policy and not in just simply hacking away at the tax structure. And I can represent people from both counties quite well.
Well, Greg, at this moment, how can people find out more about your candidacy?
Well, right now, you know, I'm not really running a campaign because this isn't an election. This is an appointment process.
Sure.
I'd be happy to talk to anyone who wants to reach out to me. You can find me online. You can certainly find me on Twitter. And you can find me in the phone book. So I'd love to just connect.
That is Greg Meyer, G-R-A-I-G. And, Greg, we appreciate your stopping by this morning.
Thanks for having me. I always support the good work that WCHL does to get the word out about things in the public. I'm glad to be here.
That is our conversation with Greg Meyer just a little while ago here on WCHL. And he has declared himself open to serving in District 50 for the State House, that seat formerly held by Valerie Fouché, appointed to the Senate District 23 seat, formerly held by long-term Senator Ellie Kinnaird. If you missed any of that interview, you can hear it on our website at chapelbro.com. Plans to build a new community center in the Rogers Road neighborhood are indefinitely delayed now, as Orange County staffers say initial project bids are twice what the Orange County commissioners had budgeted. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
Interim County Manager Michael Talbert told Orange County Commissioners last night that progress towards a Rogers Road Community Center will have to be put on hold.
Today we received bids on the community center. Unfortunately, the bids came in substantially over budget.
Commissioners authorized $650,000 to build a new facility, but the initial project bids range from $1.3 up to $1.6 million. Talbert said the project would have to be redesigned, but he offered no timeline for when that might happen.
The county, as stated earlier, is committed to this project. We will begin working immediately with the architect to redesign this project to get it within budget and move forward to rebid the project at some future date after we can come back with a redesign.
And that wasn't the only setback for Rogers Road residents at last night's meeting. The board had planned to approve an operating agreement with the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association, or RENA, for the community center. The commissioners pulled the agreement off the agenda, saying a slew of last-minute changes required further review by the county attorney. Despite the delays, Board Chair Barry Jacobs said the commissioners remain committed to the project.
The Board of County Commissioners has done nothing to delay this, so we're going to try and deal with things that were unanticipated, that came up, that could delay it, and try and keep things moving forward as expeditiously as we possibly can.
The operating agreement is tentatively scheduled to come back before the board for a vote on October 1st. Funding for the community center is part of a remediation plan for the neighborhood that's lived with the landfill for 40 years. Commissioners last night reviewed the final report from a multi-jurisdictional task force charged with creating a plan to extend sewer service to the neighborhood as part of that remediation. Under the plan, Chapel Hill, Carver, and Orange County would split the roughly $5.8 million bill to bring sewer service to 86 homes in the area. The plan is making its way through the three jurisdictions, with Carver and Orange County officials waiting to see if Chapel Hill will extend extraterritorial jurisdiction to the area, as attorneys say that's the only way the town can invest money in the sewer project. With the community center on hold and funding for the sewer plan still uncertain, Commissioner Mark Dorson urged his fellow commissioners to take action to show their support for the remediation plan.
There is a perception now in the community that the towns are more committed to this than the county. I don't believe that's true, but I believe it's unfortunate.
Dorson put forward a motion to commit the board to future funding for the sewer project, but the motion failed to garner support from any other commissioners. Jacob said board members were acting on the advice of County Attorney John Roberts. Roberts cautioned the board against any action on the remediation plan while the EPA is investigating claims by RENA that the county engaged in environmental racism against a largely African-American community.
I think it is legally risky to expend funds in this area when the EPA could come in and say, oh, that's very nice and irrelevant. You need to expend more funds to do XYZ.
Dorison, who acted as RENA's attorney in the EPA complaint before stepping aside in July, said he agreed with the attorney's advice. He worried that the board's silence sent a signal to the community that commissioners were losing momentum on the remediation plan. But Renee Price, who co-chaired the task force that developed the sewer plan, said her support for the Rogers Road neighborhood was unwavering.
In our responsibility as commissioners, we have not forgotten that neighborhood. I've been there numerous times. I actually take it kind of as an affront to say that I'm not committed.
County commissioners will take up the issue of the remediation plan November 21st when the board meets with elected officials from Carborough and Chapel Hill at the annual Assembly of Governments. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Where does Carboro stand in all of this? Well, Alderman member Michelle Johnson said to the board on Tuesday night that providing sewer services to the Rogers Road community depends on the town of Chapel Hill taking in parts of the neighborhood as an ATJ, or extraterritorial jurisdiction. We'll have that story coming up for you at the bottom of the hour on WCHL. It is 8:16. Time now for traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you this morning by Grimble Jewelers. Whether you need something really simple like a new watch battery, something really special like an engagement ring, or that custom piece you've been dreaming of for years, Grimble Jewelers is there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler, Grimble's in the Village Plaza next to Whole Foods. Now with your morning traffic, here is Rand Northam.
Heavy traffic and an accident to let you know about right now. We have an accident at 15 and 54. That's Fordham Boulevard and Raleigh Road. Seeing some delays right now, right around the Columbia Street exit on 15501 and NC 54. So use caution in that area. Could be causing some heavy delays. Northbound on 15501, seeing delays from that accident. Heading northbound to Manning Drive. Looks like that's not because of that accident, as it is behind it, but we're seeing some delays there as well. 15501 southbound between NC 54 and Manning Drive, seeing delays. Also 15501 southbound between Ephesus Church Road and Estes Drive, seeing some delays. 15501 northbound between I-40 and that is Garrett Road, seeing delays right now. NC 54 eastbound and westbound, seeing delays, possibly because of the heavy delays on I-40 eastbound right now. Again, NC 54 eastbound and westbound delays between that is Barbie Chapel Road and I-40, and then I-40 eastbound between NC 54 and Apex Highway, which is NC 55, seeing delays right now as well. So lots of slow traffic out there to get your workday started, but give yourself a little bit of extra time if you haven't left the house yet, or if you're heading home from work. Stay awake a little bit longer, and the day is almost done for you. So if you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior by giving us a call at 919-967-8363 or by tweeting us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
As I used to say in an old police drama on TV, be careful out there.
That's right.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carboro Weather presented by Elmo's Diner. The fun never stops at Elmo's Diner with shakes, burgers, and high chairs for small fries. Elmo's Diner at Carmel Mall in Carboro. It's 52 degrees in Chapel Hill, 51 in Carboro, also 51 this morning in Hillsboro. Partly sunny, high today in the middle 70s, feels good. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s, and then tomorrow we're looking at partly sunny skies with the highs in the upper 70s. So a little warmer by tomorrow afternoon, and then on Friday a little warmer still with a high back up in the middle 80s. So the weather will return more to normal within a couple of days. 818 at WCHL. The UNC Department of Public Safety arrested Rafael Sierra Gaona, 55, early Tuesday morning on charges of second-degree rape related to an incident that occurred at the State Employees Credit Union house on Mason Farm Road Friday evening. They sent out a message to campus through Alert Carolina on Saturday, warning people of the incident. According to DPS spokesperson Randy Young, the victim was not a UNC student and not affiliated with the university. Janice McAdams, SEU Family House Executive Director, released a statement to WCHL on Tuesday. At the SECU Family House, our mission is to care for families as they cope with serious illness. We are grieved by the events that occurred Friday evening. This is a deplorable act. And there's more to that statement. You can read it on our website at chapelboro.com. The SECU Family House provides a place to stay for families of patients being treated for critical illness or injury at UNC hospitals. The swift work of your local police department led to the apprehension of a man alleged to have stolen a vehicle on Saturday evening. Chapel Hill Police Public Information Sergeant Brian Walker says 28-year-old Gregory Harris, who was reportedly driving the vehicle, was arrested just down the street from where the car was reportedly stolen.
The officers conducted some investigation and interviews immediately following the chase, and they followed up with that by locating and arresting Mr. Harris on Lindsay Street in Chapel Hill.
Officers tracked the vehicle using the GPS system OnStar and caught up with Harris and 23-year-old Marvin Ovi in this 2012 Buick. Harris crashed the car at the intersection of Rosemary Street and Glen Burnie Street. Despite fleeing the scene, Sergeant Walker says Harris will not be charged with anything additional.
The charges that are showing on his arrest report are larceny of an automobile, possession of stolen goods, and speeding to elude arrest. The speeding to elude arrest in the motor vehicle would be that charge.
Ovi was arrested at the scene of the crash on Saturday evening. It took a little longer to get the other being accused. It's 8:20 at WCHL. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports. Brought to you by Harrington Bank. Good morning, I'm Ross Stutz. Carolina's away football game against Georgia Tech coming up this weekend will likely tell the tale of the early part of the season for sure. Another loss against their Coastal Division rival will put the Tar Heels at a severe disadvantage in their quest to get to Charlotte for the ACC Championship game coming up in December. WCHL's Matt Oakes spoke to a couple of UNC's impact players as they gun for a little revenge against the Yellow Jackets on Saturday.
The Georgia Tech triple option offense has proven to be Carolina's undoing in years past, but senior quarterback Bryn Renner says he is encouraged by his team's progress over the last couple weeks as the Tar Heels get set for their Saturday showdown. Renner says despite the Yellow Jacket offense receiving all the hype, their defense still presents some big challenges for the UNC offense.
I watch their old games, and they're very just sound technically. I'm not going to do too much, you know, to kind of confuse you, but they're going to be really sound fundamentally, and you have to execute. You're going to have to, you know, make plays to beat them, and I think that's the one thing Coach Roof does is he's technically sound in the way he coaches.
Keeping the Carolina defense off the field in Atlanta on Saturday will be key, especially since Renner says the ball-controlling Georgia Tech offense has a way of wearing down opposing defenses if given the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. We know the type of offense that they run. They're going to be ball-controlling, and I think, you know, Coach Shador said it best yesterday, critical situations, you know, converting on third and four, you know, third and mediums, you know, if we get stuck in the third and long, we have to, you know, convert, because punting the football means you're probably not going to get it for at least 5 minutes, or you know, you're going to be off the field. So we're going to have to convert and keep our defense off the field.
Renner says one of his offensive goals is to distribute the ball more frequently to talented receiver Quinshaw Davis.
Yeah, I think, you know, just him getting involved more is definitely a key. You know, every week we go into the ball game, but, you know, they know who he is now. No, he's not a, you know, freshman anymore, but, you know, we're going to try to get him the ball as much as possible.
Senior defensive tackle Tim Jackson says the number 68 has been on the minds of the defense for a while now. 68 being the Yellow Jackets' tally a year ago against the Tar Heels. He says he and his teammates are eager to make amends on Saturday.
I've definitely heard it a lot in the past 2 weeks as opposed to the summer or whatnot, but it's definitely something the defense talks about. We've talked about it since the day it happened and making sure it doesn't happen again. To know that the offense put up 50 points, they did everything they could to win the game, put us in a position to win the game, and for the defense just to let them down, we all took it personal, and we want to make sure that doesn't happen this week.
Personally, Jackson says Georgia Tech is one of only two teams in the ACC he has yet to beat. He says as a senior, he understands this is his final crack at the win.
I know that Georgia Tech is a team I haven't beat since I've been here. Every other ACC team in the conference, in both divisions, I've beaten over my course of my career here, and Georgia Tech is definitely a team I want. Boston College is an exception, but I haven't played them yet. But, I definitely take it personally. It's a team in our Coastal Division that we haven't beaten yet.
You can read this story and follow all the latest on Tar Heel football on our website, chapelboro.com. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Coach Paul Johnson isn't making a big deal about the sudden balance in Georgia Tech's normally run-dominated spread option offense. Vad Lee threw four touchdown passes in last week's win at Duke. Before that performance, no Georgia Tech quarterback had thrown four touchdown passes in a game since 2006, 2 years before Johnson even arrived at Georgia Tech. Now, a lot of people around here know Vad Lee because he went to Hillside High School in Durham, had an outstanding career there. Georgia Tech is ranked at or near the top of the nation's rushing leaders and near the bottom of the passing stats during Johnson's first five seasons. Vad Lee already has six scoring passes for Georgia Tech, and Johnson says he would be more impressed if the Yellow Jackets still have impressive numbers in a few more weeks. In other words, it's too early to get all excited about it. The top-ranked UNC men's soccer team barely escaped last night with a 1-0 overtime victory against Campbell on Raby George's goal in the 97th minute of play. That game played in Buies Creek. Next up, the Tar Heels visit to Virginia Tech on Friday at 7 p.m. The game will be broadcast on the ESPN3. You can read this story and follow all the latest in UNC men's soccer on our website, chapelboro.com. On the heels of its first loss of the season, the Carolina women's soccer team will have very little time to regroup. A trip to Tallahassee tonight for a league game against the always tough Seminoles of Florida State awaits. Sunday's loss to Notre Dame marked only the 35th time in 829 career matches that Carolina has failed to score a goal. The Irish themselves have managed to shut out the Tar Heels on four separate occasions. Despite the close decision, the loss dropped Carolina four spots, believe it or not, in the polls, as the top-ranked team fell down to number five, according to the National Soccer Coaches Association of America. This premier ACC matchup would be nationally televised at 8 p.m. tonight. You can watch it on ESPNU. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Ron Stutz.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Georgia Tech counted Carolina's off week by playing Duke. This is Art Chansky with Wednesday Sports Notebook. Would you be at all surprised if Georgia Tech's Paul Johnson, who coaches the misleading triple option offense, was playing mind games with UNC and the Yellow Jackets' laugher over Duke last Saturday? Much has been made of the Tar Heels having an off week before going to Atlanta, so Johnson may have been trying to give Larry Fedora and the staff more to think about. The Jackets broke out to an early lead in Durham and ho-hummed their way to a 38-14 victory. Besides proving that once again Duke isn't going to beat anybody it's not supposed to beat, Tech might have been toying with the Tar Heels in the second half by breaking out a diamond offense with four backs in the backfield, sort of a new-age version of the old four horsemen. Chances are Carolina won't see that at Bobby Dodd Field this Saturday, but chances are Fedora isn't taking any chances, so his defensive staff may be back at the drawing board to deal with the what-ifs Johnson presented by not only unveiling a new formation, but also throwing the ball all over Wallace Wade Stadium. Everyone knows that Georgia Tech doesn't pass, right? Well, if you believe the numbers, you're wrong. One of 34 undefeated major college teams left, Georgia Tech is ranked number one in the country in third down conversion percentage, fewest fumbles lost, and fewest sacks allowed. The Jackets are second in yards passed per completion, third in scoring offense, and fourth in passing efficiency behind quarterback and former Durham Hillside star Vad Lee, who accounted for five touchdowns in his homecoming game. And remember, Carolina hasn't won in Atlanta since 1997, losing 13 of the last 15 meetings. So what is Fedora to think? Well, he thinks his team has a chance, but frankly, it looks like the same old defense for UNC and a brand new offense for Georgia Tech. Of course, the 68 points the Jackets scored last season in Keenan Stadium were helped by recovering two red zone fumbles, completing a long bomb for a touchdown, and taking a kick back to the house. Scratch those plays and the Tar Heels win 50-40, right? Well, maybe. One thing's for sure, Johnson has given Fedora even more to worry about than the triple option offense. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
54 degrees, 828 at WCHL.
Jackie Halvey. I love Carrboro. It's so edgy and trend-setting that it's practically French. In fact, our high concentration of art galleries and related facilities and services has earned us the nickname the Paris of the Piedmont. No easy task, but Carrboro does it brilliantly. In fact, Carrboro does it with an edge. Think about it.
Explore. Taste. Tune in. Experience the edge of the triangle here in your own backyard.
Life is full of reasons to celebrate. Graduation, retirements, baby showers, anniversaries, weddings. Oh, the list goes on and on. For all these wonderful occasions, there are parties with dancing, laughing, sharing, and eating. The Chapel Hill Restaurant Group now offers catering services for any and all special occasions. For more information about catering services offered by the Chapel Hill Restaurant Group, call 941-1630. That's 941-1630.
Why do you buy what you buy, and how do you decide where to buy it? I'm Gerald LeMoyne, General Manager of Performant Chevrolet in Chapel Hill. The Internet has changed the shopping experience forever. By the time you walk in our door, you know what you want to do and how you want to do it. You're in control. We have no secrets. Anything you want to know, we'll tell you. From the moment of first contact, you'll experience how we're different. Wow. I know with complete certainty that you'll have the best experience ever at Performant Chevrolet in Chapel Hill. I know without a doubt that our prices are outstanding. Why would you want to buy your Chevrolet anywhere else? You can lease a 2013 Chevrolet Bolt for $269 per month, and the performance promise is included. Wow!
C3132, 36-month lease with 10,000 miles per year, $23.99 due at signing. Excludes tax, tag, and $549 dock fee. Based on MSRP of $39,995 and selling price of $38,995. Financing with approved credit. Take delivery by 9/30/2013.
Visit our virtual showroom at PerformanceChevyChapelHill.com. The wow is our promise. People, best service, best value. Always. Performance Chevrolet is a Hendrick team member.
Are you looking for new customers?
try our local deals. Brought to you by WCHL and the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce. You offer a deal to the community from your business, and folks purchase it. Everybody loves a deal. With our local deal, your company or organization is featured on 97.9 FM WCHL, on the site at ourlocaldeal.com, and through social media. Want to try the best marketing deal in town? Visit ourlocaldeal.com or call us at 919-933-4165.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro Weather, presented by Southern Season. Stop by for delicious food and great wine during their September Food and Wine Festival with gourmet food samples, wine tastings, live music, and other in-store events at the University Mall in Chapel Hill or online at southernseason.com. 54 degrees in Chapel Hill, partly sunny. High today, about 75. If it's happening in our Chapel Hill Carrboro community, you will hear about it on 97.9 FM WCHL, and you'll find it on our website, chapelboro.com.
I'm Dave Barrett. There will be a full review of military-based security worldwide following Monday's shooting deaths of 12 people at the Washington Navy Yard. Here's correspondent Tara Merginer.
The Navy, the White House are among those looking closely at how well bases are protected and how well workers, especially contract workers, are being screened and if these checks go far enough.
In Virginia, Aaron Alexis had purchased a shotgun used in the attacks just 2 days before entering the Navy Yard on Monday. He tried to buy an assault rifle, but was turned down. President Obama will again push for gun control, telling Telemundo,
I have now, in the wake of Newtown, initiated a whole range of executive actions. We've put in place every executive action that I proposed right after Newtown happened. So I've taken steps that are within my control. The next phase now is for Congress to go ahead and move.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
You're listening to 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, back to the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
54 degrees in Chapel Hill, 832 WCHL. The coordinator of Chapel Hill Carrboro's Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocate Program and a strong proponent, supporter, and administrator of primary education wants to serve in the North Carolina House of Representatives. Greg Meyer announced this week he will seek the appointment to District 50's House seat, a seat formerly held by Valerie Fushi, who was appointed to Senate District 23 seat, formerly held by Ellie Kinnaird. Greg Meyer was in our studios just a little while ago.
Most importantly is that I love this community. My wife loves this community. We care very much about what happens in this community. I believe that our government is responsible for educating our children, caring for our elders, and creating a safe, healthy, and prosperous community for everyone. I believe the North Carolina government has not been leading us in that direction for the last few years, and it's going to take a multi-year push to get us back towards being the great state that we can be, and I believe that I can make the commitment to do that.
Tell us a little bit more about your background and what qualifies you to serve in this capacity.
Ron, I've been a public servant for my entire career. I mean, people in Chapel Hill probably know me for my work with the school district. I'm really trying to address the minority achievement gap and work on racial justice issues. In Orange County, I've been active with the Orange County Schools as my daughter went through Orange County Schools from grades 1 through 12. And I've also been active in the Democratic Party at the local level, state level, even the national level. And so I've got credentials being tied into all those places and ways of supporting Orange County. My wife is more active in Durham County. She's an educator there, and our children, two youngest children, go to school there. So we've got ties, we know the issues, and care very much about making sure that the voices of people in Orange and Durham counties are represented in the General Assembly, and I think most of the people that I talk to around here feel like those voices haven't been represented very well the last couple of years, not by my predecessor, not by Valerie Fushi, of course, but by the General Assembly as a whole.
That is Greg Meyer. We spoke with him just a little while ago. He is a newly created Director of Student Equity and Volunteer Services and has been since July in that position. He has continued his work with the Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocate Program and the district's Parent University, a free portal to help parents stay connected with the district. If you'd like to find out more about his candidacy, you can listen to the whole conversation on our website at chapelboro.com. Plans to build a new community center in the Rogers Road neighborhood are indefinitely delayed now, as Orange County staffers say initial project bids have come in twice what the Board of Commissioners had budgeted. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more on the story.
Interim County Manager Michael Talbert told Orange County Commissioners last night that progress towards a Rogers Road Community Center will have to be put on hold.
Today we received bids on the community center. Unfortunately, the bids came in substantially over budget.
Commissioners authorized $650,000 to build a new facility, but the initial project bids range from $1.3 up to $1.6 million. Talbert said the project would have to be redesigned, but he offered no timeline for when that might happen.
The county, as stated earlier, is committed to this project. We will begin working immediately with the architect to redesign this project to get it within budget and move forward to rebid the project at some future date after we can come back with a redesign.
And that wasn't the only setback for Rogers Road residents at last night's meeting. The board had planned to approve an operating agreement with the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association, or RENA, for the community center. The commissioners pulled the agreement off the agenda, saying a slew of last-minute changes required further review by the county attorney. Despite the delays, Board Chair Barry Jacobs said the commissioners remain committed to the project.
The Board of County Commissioners has done nothing to delay this, so we're going to try and deal with things that were unanticipated, that came up, that could delay it, and try and keep things moving forward as expeditiously as we possibly can.
The operating agreement is tentatively scheduled to come back before the board for a vote on October 1st. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Carboro Alderman member Michelle Johnson said to the board this week that providing sewer services to Rogers Road depends not really on the town of Chapel Hill taking in parts of the neighborhood as an ETJ, or extraterritorial jurisdiction. She said without that happening, further progress would not be possible. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
You all need to know that if Chapel Hill doesn't create the ETJ, then they can't contribute, and we ask for that.
Johnson and fellow board member Sammy Slade represented Carboro on the Rogers Road Task Force, a group charged with designing a plan to provide much-needed sewer services to the community that's lived next to the landfill for four decades. Johnson and Slade worked alongside representatives from the Chapel Hill Town Council and the Board of County Commissioners, in addition to representatives from the neighborhood. The task force, who has been working for more than a year and a half, preferenced a $5.8 million plan to extend sewer services at its final meeting in August. Officials from the three municipalities also recommended a cost-sharing plan that would have Carboro paying 14%, while Chapel Hill and Orange County each paid 43%. Carboro's share would equal about $900,000. The Board of Aldermen heard a presentation of the final report written by the task force Tuesday night. Johnson said that she and Slade pushed for the town of Chapel Hill to follow through on the ETJ proposal during the task force meetings.
Because it's the only way they can contribute, or the only way they figured out that they could contribute to the sewer improvement.
The Chapel Hill Town Council will discuss plans to hold a public hearing in the matter this month. Again, more details in this story on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. It's 8:38. I'm Ross Sutz, and special guests in the studio today, Ethan Aliff and Kevin Penn. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in. They are here to tell you all about UNC Pedal for Peds, a bike ride supporting the UNC's Division of Pediatric Hematology Oncology. And Kevin, let me start with you. Tell us what this event is all about, and where it takes place, and all of that, all of the fact-finding stuff here.
Thank you for having us this morning. Yeah. It's the bike ride is this upcoming Saturday morning at McDougal Middle School in Chapel Hill, and it is a bike ride that benefits the Pediatric Hematology Oncology Group over at UNC. These are blood cancer and blood disorder pediatric patients that are in need of assistance, and mm-hmm. so it's a very, very good cause and a great event and well-run event that happens on Saturday morning.
I know that this is something that's near and dear to both your hearts. Ethan, tell me how you first got involved in this project and a little bit of background for us.
I was diagnosed in 08, and Dr. Blatt started the ride, I guess, because of me, because I started bringing my bike into the hospital during treatments, and I guess she started the ride because of that, and wanted to help raise money for the fifth floor and mm-hmm. help the families up there. And it's been a really good thing.
Well, Kevin, I know that it also has a very emotional attachment for you as well. Explain if you would.
Ethan has been an inspiration to many, many people, not only to Dr. Blatt in creating this ride, but Ethan was an inspiration to me. There was an article published about him riding his bicycle while going through treatments in 2008 that was published in a local periodical.
Wow.
Out of coincidence, I happened to be at the hospital at the same time, diagnosed with the same disease as Ethan, and my friends dropped that article on my bed and said, you're being kind of lazy in comparison to this young man over at UNC. I was getting treated over at Duke, and they shamed me into and following suit. And so Ethan's been a long-time inspiration for me, and so he and I have become fast friends and huge supporter of what Dr. Blatt and this ride are doing.
Well, Ethan inspired you, and you in turn have inspired others. Tell us about this route that you're riding on Saturday, starting at 8 o'clock in the morning. Where does it go?
So it's there are multiple routes. There's a 28-mile route and a 50-mile route that are supported. So there's going to be water and snacks along the rides. But I think the key thing is if you want to come out and ride 1 mile, 5 miles, or 50 miles, please come out and support the event. And so there's it's a great family-oriented event. There's a lot of activities that that the folks who have organized this have put together, some music, some kid-friendly activities. And just some great riding. Hopefully it'll be a beautiful morning for us.
Ethan, I know that you and Kevin have both been through some very difficult things, medically speaking, but it is important to you, obviously, to help other people who may be going through the same thing. Tell me about that process when you meet other people who are experiencing the same things that you've experienced.
I just like to, I guess, share my story and share, I guess, things that I've gone through, and if they have any questions, I like to answer those and the best way I can and give them advice and just show them that you can get better and just have a positive attitude and keep fighting. And if you want to get back to where you were, you can get back there.
Well, Kevin, I know that it must be an inspiration seeing a young man going through treatment, but also still riding his bike, taking it into the hospital, and it really got you fired up, didn't it?
Very much so, very much so. So it shamed me into doing the same, and I followed suit. And out of pure coincidence, Ethan and I were able to meet each other while we were going through that process, and been friends ever since. We will be riding a tandem bicycle for the third time on Saturday morning. Me in my Duke jersey, he in his UNC jersey, and his dear friend is going to be out there in an NC State jersey. So we're covering the triangle in terms of affiliations, if you will, and just really looking forward to kind of celebrating and paying it forward, as Ethan and I like to do, with supporting a very good cause.
All of that is really a great collaboration, rivalries aside. If someone wants to find out more about this event coming up this weekend, how do they go about doing that?
The best way of doing that is pedalforpeds.org, the website. And PEDS is spelled P-E-D-S, so pedalforpeds, P-E-D-S.org. And all the information that you need to know about registration, the event, and anything else are on that website.
Kevin, have fun this weekend. Raise a lot of money and help other people and continue on in the fight and continue on inspiring other people.
Thank you for having this morning.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate you both coming in this morning.
Absolutely.
It is. I'm feeling really lazy, too, just sitting here and listening to what you guys have done. It's 8:43 at WCHL. Now let's check in with D.G. Martin.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
If you say Hillsborough's Alan Gerganus' name in a group of readers, several of them may tell you that his oldest living Confederate widow tells all is their favorite novel of all time. But it's been a while since we've seen a new book from him. So what has he been doing?
Writing every day,
he says, and getting up at 6 a.m. to do it. So finally, next week we can buy and read a new Gerganus book, one that takes us back to the fictional eastern North Carolina town of Falls, where the Widow book and many of his other stories and books have been set. Local Souls, the new book, is really three separate novellas, and they're all set in Falls, North Carolina. The first story's main character, Susan, is a 14-year-old All-American girl growing up in Falls. And then her father dies in a boating accident, and then her godfather seduces her and makes her pregnant. She has to give up her baby But she pulls her life together, gets married, has two children, leads a normal life until she is reunited with the child that she gave up. And that brings about a surprising transformation that only Alan Gerganus could conjure up. In the second story, Saints Have Mothers, a divorced woman has a 17-year-old daughter. And her life is wrapped up in the hopes for her child's future. But against her mother's wishes, the daughter goes off to Africa on a service project. Communication with her daughter is spotty until a middle-of-the-night phone call brings word of the daughter's death. And as the mother and the Falls community prepare for a memorial service, Gerganus brings the story to a shocking and touching conclusion. The third novella, Decoy, is the history of a relationship between two men. One is a beloved family doctor in Falls, and the other is a sort of a newcomer on the borderline of acceptance by Falls elite. Well, when the doctor retires and goes to carving decoys, the friendship is disturbed, and then it is swept away by Hurricane Fran-like flood that destroys both men's homes and much of Falls. With these three stories, Gerganus demonstrates that he has not lost the storytelling power that propelled him to fame, and he leaves us hoping that we will not have to wait so long for his next offering. And a lot of people agree, including John Irvin. You remember of GARP fame. He writes, Gerganus' storytelling is flawless. His narration becomes a Greek chorus, Sophocles, in North Carolina. And Ann Padgett says, he breathes so much life into the town of Falls, North Carolina, his reader is able to walk down the streets and mingle with the local souls. This book understands what we have long known. Gerganus stands among the best writers of our time. But more important for me than this praise is that Gerganus' fiction gives us a true look at our fellow North Carolinians in a struggling region as they cope with the many challenges of contemporary times. This is D.G. Martin.
Hey, thanks, D.G. 847 at WCHL.
And now it's time for the professionals. Local service, daily insights.
This is Bill Cederberg of Cederberg Kitchens and Additions, located here in Chapel Hill. Been in business since 1986.
Cederberg Kitchens and Additions, they're very good at the job they do.
We're a full-service design remodeling company, Ron, and we specialize in turnkey process where our customers usually are looking for sort of a one-stop solution. We can help them with the design process, resourcing of materials, and helping them with actually making decisions about what's going to work best for their personal situation, and then the actual production of that work with our own staff, you know, trying to essentially minimize the number of opportunities for, you know, miscommunication or loss of information because you're handing it off to a third party or another party. And so we are ultimately responsible from the beginning of the process to the end of the process.
Remember the name, Bill Cederberg.
People are interested in learning more about us. You can go to our website at cederbergkitchens.com. You'll see examples of our work and some testimonials and products, et cetera, et cetera.
Cederberg Kitchens and Additions.
We are located at 630 Weaver Dairy Road in the middle of the Cedar Village Shopping Center here. And you can find us in the phone book at 919-967-1171.
This has been The Professionals on WCHL, local service, daily insights.
Carolina Performing Arts presents world-renowned jazz giant Wynton Marsalis as he leads the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra on October 3rd and 4th at UNC's Memorial Hall. Don't miss this riveting, high-spirited odyssey through rousing jazz tunes and stirring gospel music as Marsalis is joined on stage by Chorale Le Chateau, a 70-voice gospel choir. For tickets and more information, visit carolinaperformingarts.org or call 843-3333.
Carolina Performing Arts. The world comes here.
Tailgate season is back, and Great Outdoor Provision Company is ready to kick it off right. Stop by to pick up one of our new Yeti coolers with UV-resistant technology and heavy insulation. And don't forget about Costa Del Mar sunglasses for game days and Patagonia better sweaters because cold weather is on the way. Great Outdoor Provision Company, located at Eastgate Shopping Center. Like us on Facebook and find out more about featured products at greatoutdoorprovision.com.
Are you a weekend warrior? Along with the fun of being active comes the risk of injury. This is Dr. Harry Stafford, Director of the Primary Care Sports Medicine Fellowship here at UNC, as well as a UNC team physician. And for those times when your knee gets injured, your Achilles is hurt, your back goes out, or if you've got a shoulder injury, UNC Family Medicine is a great choice for fast and easy treatments, including cutting-edge platelet-rich plasma injections and much more. I invite you to find out more on our website, uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine, here for all weekend warriors.
This is Carborough Mayor Mark Chilton. There's only one thing cooler than Carborough, and it's got to be Ron Stutz.
Thank you, Mayor. 850 at WCHL. We have 53 degrees in Chapel Hill. More on the weather coming up.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Jane Salemson. Recently, I heard Ron Stutz and Freddie Kiger discussing the fiasco of the so-called improvements to Weaver Dairy Road. Specifically, it was the inability to turn left from Perkins Drive onto Weaver Dairy. For 20 years, I've been traveling along that road to shop. Now, going to Chapel Hill North, I can't return the way I came. My choices are a potentially dangerous U-turn at the lights on Weaver Dairy and Martin Luther King, or the longer way around by the gas station to the traffic lights. It's ludicrous. What were they thinking? If they didn't want a left turn from Perkins, a great solution would have been to install a mini roundabout at Perkins and Weaver Dairy, which would also help to slow traffic down. The road is now wide enough for cars to negotiate a mini roundabout. Trucks can use the gas station exit onto Martin Luther King with easy access to I-40. Another area of concern is the new exit from the Timberline Shopping Center. There is a slight incline on Weaver Dairy coming from the east before the Timberline driveway, and cars traveling west on that road can't easily see traffic that's coming out of the shopping center. I have already seen people driving out of there turning left, trying to beat the oncoming Weaver Dairy traffic. Can something be done about these fiascos before any accidents happen? Do people need to be injured or even killed before the Department of Transportation realizes what poor planning they have instigated? This is Jane Salemson.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
What you're saying on the street, presented by ISIS IT.
What you're saying on the street.
I'm Kristen Russin. In light of the shooting in Washington, D.C. Monday, we hit the streets to find out what you think about the current state of gun control in the U.S.
John Scott, I live here in Chapel Hill, have for 45 years. Gun control doesn't mean eliminating guns, it just means finding a way to keep things like what happened yesterday from happening. We can have hunting, we can have self-protection without madmen getting control of guns. There's got to be a middle ground. It's not a black and white issue. There's tons and tons of gray.
My name is Herman Fouché. I was born and raised here in Chapel Hill. Worked in D.C. for a long time where they do have gun control, but I think it's out of control. They should, people who are mentally, who've had a history of mental illness, should not have access to guns. That's the main thing. But people who are stable, I have no problem with.
What do you think about gun control and the use of guns in America?
My name is Sherry Sweeney. I'm from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, actually originally California. And I don't believe there is any gun control, and I wish that there were.
Melissa Hudgens, I'm from Chapel Hill. I actually feel very strongly about gun control and wish that our state and federal government would take steps to limit access to guns and increase background checks and all of the things that are letting guns get into the hands of people who are mentally unstable or felons or ex-felons. And yesterday's incident is just further evidence of that.
This is Red. I'm from Bull City. I think that guns need to be done away with. I think they need to be taken out of society. People using them for some strange things. Yeah, that's what I feel like. I feel like they should be taken out of society. I mean, I know about the NRA and all that. I understand that there, but I don't know. That's a complex issue. I think they need to get them off the street, though.
That's what you're saying on the street. On 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's News, Talk, and Tar Heel Station.
What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. Managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at IGotFixed.com.
The Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar presents delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients created by Executive Chef James Clark and his talented culinary team. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant is a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. And Crown Honda of South Point is the home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. You remember the word of the day? It's from not Wayne Pond, but Rand Northam. Call me right now. Tell me the word. Spell it correctly and define it correctly, and I'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Your number to call, 919-929-WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Pat Perret is a veteran reading volunteer with the Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools. Here's Susan Pierce to tell you why she's today's WCHL hometown hero.
She has been volunteering with us for a long time before she started with Chapel Hill Carborough School. She volunteered in Orange County, and so she's a veteran volunteer. She's also in our Volunteer Hall of Fame because she's been with us for so long. Our database that we have currently goes back to 2000, and she was here then.
Uh-huh.
And so I believe that she was even volunteering with us before that.
Where specifically does she volunteer?
Well, she's volunteering at Glenwood, and she loves being at Glenwood because she has a lot of international background in terms of where she's lived. She lived in Korea and she's lived in France, and there are so many kids from other countries that go to Glenwood, so that it's just a perfect fit for her. She's a school reading partner, and she's been doing that with us since Scroggs opened. She read at Scroggs for several years, and then when she moved house, she moved to Glenwood, and she's been there ever since as a school reading partner. She's also been trained as an ESL volunteer, so she generally works with students who speak another language at home.
Pat Perret has a really special connection with the kids.
She doesn't force herself on children. She lets them kind of come to her. She's very gentle, but at the same time gets what she needs to get accomplished. She's always a favorite of the kids and the teacher and anybody else that she works with. She's really a delightful person.
Pat Perret's work in the schools only tells part of the story.
She's working part-time at Carol Woods, and what she's doing is health promotion and disease prevention. She screens residents for overall health and well-being. She likes to get involved in the community. She also volunteers in Chatham County for the Literacy Council, so she's worked over the years with adults trying to teach them English. She's also gone to Haiti 5 times, being excited about going down there. Specifically, she has supported, along with her church, the St. Joseph's Home for Boys, which is an orphanage, and they've raised money, and they've gone down, I think, and worked on the house and gotten to know the boys. She is never without a project or something in the community that she's involved with and wanting to make a difference.
Our thanks to Susan Pierce for the nomination. They love her at Glenwood, and now you know why. Pat Perret, today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Because Susan switched to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars on car insurance, her retirement account wants to bake her a chocolate cake. But it can't. It's a retirement account. It doesn't have the upper body strength to lift a cake pan into an oven. Switch to Geico, and every time you see the savings, you'll know your retirement account wants to bake you a chocolate cake. But remember, it can't. It's a retirement account. It is, however, happy that you're saving money.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
A great big congratulations to Carl Smith of Graham, who called in with the word of the day. It is peruse, P-E-R-U-S-E. It means to review something very carefully or in depth. Not exactly what you thought it meant, right? Carl gets a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Hey, it's going to be a really nice day today. 54 degrees right now in Chapel Hill, 53 in Carborough. Partly sunny today. Look for a high temperature this afternoon in the low 70s.
You're listening to 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
Chapel Hill Carboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 9 o'clock.
Chapel Hill Economic Development. Open for business, to business. Find out more on the web at opentobusiness.biz.